Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. And all that's creative, right?
Exactly. So, creative nonfiction is gaining ground in the recent years. It's become more of a popular thing. The nonfiction essay is something that you may read if you've ever heard of a literary journal like McSweeney's or a memoir book or something of that nature. Nonfiction essays are primarily, they're grounded in either, you know, the world. You can write about something as small as a cat hair or, you know, something as large as economic problems in, you know, Haiti, wherever. Anything you want, you can draw on anything. And I was enchanted by the essay format because I like picking out little things about life and breaking them down and explaining them to the reader. I think the life we have right now is very powerful. While I enjoy fiction, I'd rather just write about true life.
And so that's where, and the idea of matching the word creative, usually people, that engenders this thought of fantasy.
Right.
And so on. But creative in this context means you approach the subject from just so many different angles. Do I have that correct?
Yeah. You can use your artistic liberties, definitely. For example, I rode the SunTran one day. This is a new thing to me. I've never used public transportation in Tucson, and I rode it all the way to the bus central, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to be a silent observer. And, you know, I described everything that I saw and all the different people, and you can do this in a very, very artistic way. You know, if you wanted to write the story like it was a cubist piece of art, you could. But it's still nonfiction because it's real life.
Because it's real life. Okay. So I had, again, that's a whole discipline in English literature I wasn't aware of. So tell me now, so is your intention someday to write a creative nonfiction piece in Russian?
Oh!
Or have you already done
that? Sure, maybe. I've actually written creative nonfiction about Russia.
About Russia.
When I returned from Russia in the fall, I took a workshop class, and I wrote a memoir about the Moscow metro. Writing in the metro was a crazy experience in Russia. It's similar. It is a subway, quite like, you know, New York or Chicago or something like that. But people are strange. There was a man that brought a monkey onto the metro once.
Yeah.
He brought it in a plastic bag, you know, and just sat it on his lap. And the monkey popped out of the bag, and nobody gave it a second thought. Russia's just, it's a different place. Yeah.
Now, again, you mentioned earlier that here we had an international person that perhaps mistook you as a Soviet citizen or Russian citizen. But being an American in that environment, I'm sure people did get to know you as an American student abroad.
Definitely.
The questions, I mean, it isn't too long ago that the Cold War was so pervasive in our lives. Of course, you were just a tot back then, of course. but that whole dynamic and difference and openness, conversation you had with other young people or older people about it?
Well, I actually had the great privilege to be set up with someone in St. Petersburg. I have a Russian friend who lives here in the States. He immigrated from Belarus when he was just a little guy. And his good friend Dasha actually lives in St. Petersburg. So she speaks English and Russian, and she kind of showed me around the place.
Oh, yeah.
She wanted to know so much about my life in America. It's just fascinating. The younger generation is very curious about America. While I was in Russia, I had the privilege to go to a couple, I guess, underground bars that Dasha showed me. And, you know, everybody says, oh, we have an American here. And people are coming up asking me questions. Do you know Lady Gaga? You know, people are very curious.
See, now in my generation, when I was traveling overseas, it was, so do you live in a mansion like on Dallas?
Again,
that's the difference.
Definitely. They all wanted to know what kind of car I drove, you know, where I lived. If I said Tucson, they said, so is that near L.A.? I said, kind of. And they say, okay, do you have horses? That's the desert, right? You know.
There you go. That's so, good. Now, you use the words underground bar. What do you mean by that?
Oh, well, not off the beaten path. One of them was actually underground. I went to a bar that was in a bomb shelter, actually. They have a lot of hokey-themed restaurants. And by hokey, I don't mean necessarily bad, but okay, maybe kitschy is a better word. They had a restaurant that was NEP, which is modeled after, you know, Lenin's new economic program way back when, and so there's all the Soviet propaganda and stuff everywhere. And but the underground bars are a little bit more, you know, very quiet St. Petersburg youth kind of things.
So it's not to mean that they were illegal.
No, definitely not. Okay. No, just what lesser known.
Lesser known, okay. So you're back here in the States now.
Yeah.
And you're in your third year, third of probably five, because you're double majoring. Is
actually,
that right?
No.
You're speeding it up.
I'm very, very fast.
Oh, my goodness. That's good. And the thought of you now combining all of this to pursue literature, to write, to publish, and so on, and pursue graduate work, that's just marvelous.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, you'd said to me, I know you have on your resume in front of me that you've already edited a manuscript for an author.
Yeah.
And what else is on the horizon in that venue for you?
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm not sure. My prospects are looking pretty good. As far as publishing goes, I suppose I have some, you know, connections through people I know. Maybe publishing is an option for me. Right now, I think I'll probably focus on graduate school. I do want to pursue a master's and eventually a PhD in Slavic studies, just because I want to teach literature, I want to teach language, I just want to teach all about the culture that I'm in love with.
Yeah, that's great. Do you think you'd ever pursue doing graduate work overseas then?
Oh, definitely. There's, you know, there's probably options available for study abroad through any program that I can have.
Yeah, that's great. I mentioned in the introduction your commitment to children's literature. I know you've done some really fun things that blend music and dance and literature. Share our audience about that.
Okay. So at the UVA Bookstore, there's a program called Walk. Definitely, it's still running. You should take your kids. I don't work there right now because of other conflicting work schedules, but it's really fun. With Walk, you can get kids between, you know, 2, 5, 7, 8. I've seen kids as old as 10 there. And I was a story time reader, so we corral them in the basement of the U of A bookstore where, you know, there's other textbooks and things going on sale. And we do story readings. We'll read 2 to 3 stories, and there's songs, and there's dancing. And then afterwards, they get to meet the character that's featured in the book. And there's balloons everywhere and crafts. And it's become more structured as of late, actually. There are definitely more activities for the kids to do, and it's just a fun place to go. It's free to the public.
Your background, of course, and we've known each other since you were back in high school. There was also your heavily involvement in the Catalina Foothills High School theater programs.
Oh, yes.
So there's Hannah the performer here, as in case our listeners aren't picking that up from the audio. Do you feel maybe you'll be into screenplay writing at some point, or dramatic performances?
That's a possibility.
In Slavic languages, of course.
Sure. I mean, you see, I suppose in popular culture, Russia is this kind of very heavily stereotyped yet mysterious place.
Yes.
In all of the spy movies, I remember going to the movies recently, and half the trailers happened in Moscow, were set in Moscow, and, you know, what is this, you know? So there's got to be some people speak in Russian in there. Maybe I can give them some grammar tips, because it's really sad watching a movie and seeing people try to speak Russian and do it unconvincingly or with a bad accent or, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I mentioned here earlier that when you were overseas for the summer, that the way you connected with so many family and friends that were kind of watching evolution, I'll call it, was through your blog.
Yeah.
And the blog included everything from photographs of the commode in the little closet of a bathroom that you had to other experiences. Blogging from start to finish, do you feel, have you gone back and reread what you wrote to see if there was some common threads?
Constantly.
Or things that revolved?
Definitely. I get very Russia sick or homesick, I suppose, for the home away from home. I had the opportunity to study abroad and live with a family.
Yeah.
So definitely, I've looked back for inspiration for writing. I've looked back just because I wanted to look at the pictures and remember how my knees would hit the bathroom door every time I closed it. You know, it's just such an interesting experience. It's almost like I left part of myself there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which you probably did. That'll come back to you in some way.
Definitely.
Hannah, your decision to pursue a study in the humanities, of course, there might be people out there that, you know, their youth that they impact are headed in similar direction, and there always might be this twinge of, well, can you really get a job doing this?
Sure.
Now, I happen to know you're completely fearless, but but how have you perhaps managed some of that pushing back and the whole thought and prospect and enticement of a career in the humanities?
Well, that's a great question. definitely it's hard to get a job in the humanities. I think that I've quashed some of my fears by talking with professors. I mean, I've always had this itch to teach. Mm-hmm. I've always loved instructing and helping people just build their craft and understand how to write or how to critically think. It's not exactly what I wanted to hear.
Because it wasn't what you really wanted to do.
No, definitely not. I mean, there are many options. Actually, on campus, there's just a club that started up called the English Professional Development Club. And so English majors and people alike meet, and sometimes there are lectures by outside community members mm-hmm. who graduated from the U of A with a degree in English or creative writing. And they come back and lecture, and, you know, the guy that just lectured, his name is Rob Ferrier. He's a lawyer in town, and he said, hey, you know, look, I graduated with a degree in English. And it's really a skill that you'll never lose, being able to explain something critically or knowing what a comma splice is. I mean, they're...
and actually, those are tools of every trade, in fact. If anyone thinks they can skip that process, you know... rest assured it's going to catch you later on.
Definitely.
Yeah. The aspects of the creative writing for you then, is this something you do every day?
Yeah, definitely. I carry around a little notepad with me, and if I'm walking or, you know, sitting in class or something, and I'll just get a good idea in my head. For example, the other day I was sitting in class and I thought, oh, remember when you drive and, you know, imagine yourself driving and then suddenly you remember where you're going. Doesn't, you know, that feeling of, oh, I'm being inattentive.
Yes.
Something like that. It's a really scary feeling. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to write this down and return to it later and write a piece about it, because it's just something that fascinates me.
You know, that's kind of similar to a certain person in my household who's quite an artist, in that I would never throw away his Latin notebook from sixth grade because the doodles in it are going to be worth their weight in gold someday. So I can have this sense that metaphorically your doodling is your idea capturing.
Yes.
That net always having out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have you ever written a piece that then you go back to it and you say, who wrote this?
Yes.
Didn't even remember? Or there was because I just know, having followed your career as young as it is, you're extremely prolific.
I tend to leave little scraps of paper all over the place for ideas, or on my backup drive of my computer, I just have a folder of thousands and thousands of text documents of just like little thoughts or little poetry verses or a full song maybe or a written piece. And, you know, they can date back as far as sixth grade. I've just kept them, and I have notebooks, and I barely recognize my own self after the years progress so far. You know, I can go back and read a torturous love song, just a terrible, terrible thing that I wrote when I was younger, you know, and it's just so mushy and funny at the same time, because I know it was me and my heart was in it when I wrote it, but now I've grown out of it and it's funny.
But you never know, you'll come back to that. Now, I mentioned again in the introduction, of course, your lifelong connection with French. Now you're studying Russian, you're writing, you're cooking, but I totally overlooked in the introduction to mention your guitar playing and your actual collection of guitars. So
yes.
This idea of the multi-purpose breadth of your artistic interests.
Certainly.
How long have you been playing the guitar?
Wow. I've been playing guitar since, I suppose, the eighth grade. I picked it up and taught myself. So that's over 8 years. My math isn't very good.
Which is okay, because you're in the humanities field, right?
Exactly. So I think that, you know, playing any kind of instrument is very important. I wish my mother had forced me to play piano at a young age. I really want to play jazz piano. Maybe that's next. You know, experiencing the culture and then saying, oh man, I want to play that instrument. You know, I play accordion also, so I came home and I applied my knowledge of Russian folk songs, and I play, you know, Russian folk polkas.
How did you ever pick up the accordion?
A lot of determination and perseverance.
Was it just because, as always, you wanted to do something different?
Yeah, certainly. I'm not necessarily some kind of Weird Al Yankovic prodigy or anything like that, but I woke up one morning and thought, you know, the accordion's pretty crazy, and I bet I could do some cool stuff. Be a one-man band, you know, busking on the side of the street.
With that monkey that was in the subway in Russia, maybe?
Yes.
There you go. Not the stereotype, right?
No.
but again, that I think our listeners are appreciating, Hannah, this idea where you are at your age, exploring and trying, and this creativity thread that kind of bounces across things. Also, you know, you're involved in a radio show. I think that's some of that drama and theater work coming back at you.
Definitely. I like to talk. I like to show people new things. I suppose it's a way of teaching through music, you know? Okay. I'm taking a break from it this semester because my course load is just too heavy, but it's always funny to kind of show new listeners something and have them call in and say, what the heck is that? That's gross. Or, you know, the next call I'll say, that's amazing. That's a great piece of work.
Well, your commitment also to your Russian studies, you've, again, latched on obviously way beyond just the language itself because of your study abroad and having lived the culture, but also the medium of film.
Right.
And bringing a Russian film series here.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, it must be an interesting audiences that come to that festival.
Yeah, it is. I do them periodically. They're set dates every Tuesday at 6:30. You can actually, if you're interested in this Russian film series, you can go to russian.arizona.edu and access a film series, you know, poster near there. It's really interesting to experience Russian film. Actually, the series, the theme of it is Russia looks at the West looks at Russia. So it's America's perception of what Russia is and Russia's perception. So it's fun because the way the Russians think is completely different than the way the Americans think.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just screened a movie called Muiz Jaza, which means we are jazz men. And it's a movie about Russian jazz in the 20s. And if you participated in jazz or liked jazz, that was like handing in your communist card.
Mm-hmm.
It was very bad and associated with American capitalism. And so watching these Russians interpret what jazz is
and improv in a way,
right, and use like the instruments they had, just, you know, broken saxophone and pots and pans for drums and things like that, they created beautiful jazz. And obviously these films are in Russian, but they have English subtitles so everyone can understand. And you got people of all demographics. You had older community members, curious high school students, college students, my friends.
Some both. I was going to say, your friends, the crossover from that. This is just a timeless exploration.
Yeah.
Well, Hannah Hollins from the University of Arizona, thanks for contributing to our show today. I do hope our listeners, particularly any young people out there, realize this idea that, to me, Hannah, you really manifest this, that you are creating a path by walking on it, that you're learning the accordion, you're deciding to study abroad, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to invest a little bit longer, not just do creative writing, but also add in Russian.
Yeah.
And then, who knows, the Slavic language, Slavic theater, Slavic film might come your way. We'll, as always, continue to watch your progress. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.